Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Amy Harwood, who is the Human Overpopulation Organiser and the 7 Billion and Counting Campaign Coordinator at the Centre for Biodiversity, where she works on educating the public on the connection between human population growth and species extinction. Before joining the Centre in 2011, she worked in forest conservation and public lands advocacy for more than 10 years. In addition to leading hundreds of hikes and backpacking trips, she co-founded Signal Fire, an organisation committed to bringing artists into our remaining wildlands. Welcome to Background Briefing, Amy Harwood.
Thanks, Ian. It's great to be here.
And according to demographers, the world's population didn't reach 1 billion until 1804. And that goes back, you know, if you're a Christian fundamentalist, it goes back 6,000 years. But if you believe in evolution, it goes back millions of years. But either way, it didn't reach 1 billion until 1804. And then it took 123 years to hit 2 billion in 1927. And then the pace accelerated, 3 billion in 1959, 4 billion in 1974, 5 billion in 1987, 6 billion in 1998, and we are about to pass 7 billion, and we'll reach 8 billion by 2025 and 10 billion by 2083. How does this globe, this fragile biosphere, deal with this increasing problem?
Well, I think that's a great way to frame the question, actually, is to go through that history, because if listeners didn't quite pick up on that, the world population has actually doubled just in about 50 years. So the population growth that we're talking about is not something that's just, you know, been growing. It actually has happened very fast, and it's been a very rapid growth. And a lot of people who are concerned about what the impacts of this type of growth are on the environment make sure to really point that out, because I think a lot of people don't understand just how fast that really happened. And I think one of the reasons why the Center for Biological Diversity got involved in this issue and started this campaign is because the impacts on our environment are great, and specifically the impacts on species that are already facing other threats. The population growth actually is making it even harder for those species to eke out existence and to recover from near extinction. So that's an issue that we have been working on for many, many years and have been very successful at getting better protections for species that are facing extinction. And we see this work as just an obvious extension of that work to try and stop those threats from happening.
Well, my understanding, Amy Harwood, from biologists, is that the ideal population for the Earth in terms of sustaining all of the biodiversity, and we lose thousands of species and of plants and animals every year already, but would be something between 500 million and 1 billion. That's about the maximum that biologists think the planet should have. So we're already seven times that. Where do you come down in terms of a tipping point?
You know, it's a good question, and I think people do try and think about that a lot, because it's a helpful information, and certainly the trying to come up with sort of those numbers are helpful. For me, I think it's really difficult to nail down those numbers, because, of course, the population growth is really connected to our consumption. The impacts from the population growth are really connected to our consumption as well, and so I think it's hard to really look at those numbers without connecting it to the way that we actually are behaving as, you know, humans being humans. And the thing that we're really focusing on with this campaign is using the moment of 7 billion people being on Earth as a moment that people are going to be thinking about population. It's a benchmark in that sort of global awareness around population. But more importantly, getting people to start just talking about the issue of population growth. I think that a lot of the reasons why we're in the position that we're in right now with this growing population has to do with the fact that people are not comfortable talking about this issue. It's a very difficult topic to bring up with people. And what we want to be doing is giving people tools and clever ways to kind of bring that conversation up and get people to start thinking about how they can be involved in in some of the solutions, such as supporting family planning, supporting women's access to reproductive rights and healthcare, and some of those things that we know will help us to stabilize the population. That's one of the reasons why we started our Endangered Species Condoms Project, which is a project we've done for a couple of years where we've been utilizing volunteers to distribute hundreds of thousands of free condoms that are actually packaged with pictures of endangered species on them, hoping that, you know, those become tools for people to start a conversation, which would otherwise be kind of difficult to bring up, but you have this kind of funny and nice sort of conversation starter with a condom that you can hand to somebody and say, hey, I want you to think about this. And we've just seen great success with it. Our volunteers report back that people love it, love the, you know, the humor of it, and then it really does spark some great conversations. And our hope is just to start getting people to really address this issue first and foremost by talking about it.
So for a moment there, I thought you were talking about condoms for endangered species.
I've gotten that before.
It's clearly quite the reverse, but I was trying to sort of picture that notion. So the idea is, of course, that humans use the condoms and as a way to remind them that their human activity has already extinguished all of these species.
And that, exactly. Yeah. And they each of the packages feature one of six different species that we know is that species is facing threats that are caused by population issues. And so that's been a really fun way for us to bring up different species as well.
But isn't it sort of interesting and kind of perverse in a way that you can't tell humans to stop overpopulating directly because they don't want to listen, but you can reach them because they love animals that are being made extinct and that gets their attention. Do you find that kind of paradoxical?
Well, I think it is an interesting thing to think about, but I think also, you know, I think people are starting to grow an awareness about how important biodiversity is to those life-giving resources that we depend on, water, soil, air, that the way that biodiversity interacts and the relationships that biodiversity has with those things that we need to sustain life, human life. People are starting to have a better awareness about that. And so individual species aren't necessarily just, you know, one species that you might see at a zoo and be interested in. That species is connected to thousands of other relationships that are supporting, you know, all the resources that we depend on to stay alive. And so I think, you know, it is kind of a funny thing, but I also think it's given us the opportunity to start talking about how all those things are interconnected.
Again, I'm speaking with Amy Harwood, who is the 7 Billion and Counting Campaign Coordinator at the Center for Biodiversity, and we're talking about how the 7th billion person is soon to join this planet that has the population of which has grown exponentially with the first billion to inhabit the planet only as recently as 1804, the entire history of the Earth. And then it's gone up exponentially, 123 years to hit the 2 billion in 1927, 3 billion in 1959, 4 billion in 1974, 5 billion in 1987, 6 billion in 1998, 7 billion anytime soon, 8 billion by 2025, and 10 billion by 2083. And of course, the second most populous country, India, with 1.2 billion, that's expected to overtake China around 2030 with an estimated 1.6 billion people. And China, even the most populous nation with 1.34 billion people in the last decade, it added 74 million, which is more than the populations of France or Thailand.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's so great that you just were able to go through those statistics for listeners because those are really useful. And one thing that has been interesting as I've been working on this campaign is to find out how few people know that the next largest population nationwide is the United States. So it's China and India are, you know, up there, and then the United States is third largest population. And I find that a lot of people don't realize that the U.S. actually is very much a part of this conversation in terms of having a very high fertility rate for developed countries and also just having a very large population ourselves anyway. And that's been a really helpful thing, I think, for us to, at the Center for Biological Diversity, to be talking about, to be making sure that people in the U.S. understand that this is not a problem that is in some other place, that we also have to be part of this conversation.
Well, what are the statistics for population growth in the United States? Do you have them in terms of how quickly it has grown, and what is driving the growth?
Well, it has grown pretty rapidly, with, you know, as well as the world population, and there are predictions that it will sort of stabilize and will start to slow down. Although I will say that those are predictions that are based on, you know, the understanding that people are going to sort of behave similarly to countries that we've seen in Europe, where the populations have started to either stabilize or decline. And it's not factoring in the fact that, you know, the United States may be different. We may not slow that down. We actually do have to, you know, present some awareness in order to make sure that does happen. So those predictions, too, seem to consistently be pretty wide in terms of, you know, scenarios that could happen in the next few decades.
But surely, Amy Harwood, even though the United States may not be the most populous, but it is certainly, it's about, what, 3 in the world, is it?
Yes, the 3rd, yes.
And it's growing, and it's grown considerably. Mm-hmm. I think you have to add to that, surely, that the United States consumes proportionally more of the world's resources than any other country. I think we're 25, don't we consume about 25% of the world's energy?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, that needs to be a part of the conversation. I think, you know, we try and make sure to incorporate that into some of the work that we're doing with the population issues. And, you know, the center's, the rest of our programming is pretty focused on that consumption question. And so we've been trying to make sure that, you know, where we can bring those two things together, we do, because I think it is really important for people to remember that those are pretty connected. Those are very connected, especially considering the United States involvement.
Well, my understanding, Amy, is that the 3 things that are driving species extinction are population growth and resource depletion and energy use. Mm-hmm. And arguably, it's very difficult because it's not proven easy to curb population growth. Clearly, that's efforts have failed because the population grows inexorably, and maybe that's because people like sex. I don't know what the reasons are, but I would hazard a guess that might be a big part of it. Resource depletion is very difficult to deal with because inherently in the capitalist system you have to have more growth. That means you have to consume more and produce more, sell more, and create more waste. And then the 3rd one, energy use. There seems to be some good news there. So I don't want to be totally bleak, but how do you see things?
Well, that's an interesting perspective, and I think I probably agree with what you're saying. I mean, for me, though, right now, working on this campaign, I see a lot of hope in focusing on that population question and trying to get people to have awareness. I think that we still have over 200 million women who want to be using family planning resources and want to be making decisions about how big their families are and when they start their families, and they don't have access to the resources they need to do that. And, you know, there's some pretty basic solutions out there that we still haven't gotten to. And I really am excited by the idea of, you know, working with an environmental group and starting to connect some of those solutions up with some of the issues that we see in terms of population impact, growth impacts on the environment. So I think I feel hopeful, actually, working on this campaign, that that population is very much something that we can start seeing real change on in the next few decades.
But when you say there are 200 million women without access to birth control, is that where? Is that a global number? It should be much higher than that globally, surely.
Well, I think that's just recognizing that there are, you know, that's recognizing that that is a global number that I've seen you know, several times, and I think that's just recognizing that those are women that actually have expressed interest but literally don't have any access to it. And I think there's a huge potential to be getting out and educating women on how birth control can help them to make those better decisions. And
yeah, but the Christian right in this country, who have a growing political power, haven't they frustrated efforts at global education on birth control?
And yeah, I think that's a perfect example of how, again, the United States is very much a part of this question. It's not necessarily to say that, you know, the United States is going to walk in and tell every country how to be ensuring that access, you know, best in their country. I think that's going to be, you know, one area after another, finding their own local ways to set those centers up. However, the United States is pivotal in terms of funding that. And just last week, we actually saw Republicans move along a bill to defund one of the most the largest agencies that funds a lot of those women's groups and some of those health centers worldwide. And seeing that kind of effort by the Republicans is really disheartening, and is reason for us to continue to do that work in the United States to make sure that those services get funded.
I thank you for joining us, Amy.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Amy Harwood, who is the Human Overpopulation Organizer and the 7 Billion and Counting Campaign Coordinator at the Center for Biodiversity, where she works at educating the public on the connection between human population growth and species extinction. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the president's speech on Sunday at the opening of the memorial for Martin Luther King, and similarities between King's troubles and the president's troubles that the president alluded to in his speech.